God is good to us. You know, the Lord is good to all. It's the devil who is a thief. He's a liar, the father of it. But the Lord came that we might have life. And yes. So God is a super abundant, super quality God. Amen. Everything he does is top notch. He's good to all who call upon him. Thank you, Lord. So, I don't know about you, but I needed today. This was good. Amen. You feel like you made the right decision by coming today? I didn't see anybody walk out, so that's good. But, you know, the Lord wants us to gather in his name. And there's a special blessing when we do that. You know, God gives us a short opportunity, a short season of life. How many have realized that even this year has gone by so quickly? It's amazing. I'm thinking we're in August. We're in August already. It seems like this whole COVID thing, but it started, well, some are saying back as early as December or whatever. Depends on what source you go to. But this thing has been going on for months and months. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I thought, maybe a couple weeks and we'll blast over it. We'll be through it. And here we are in August. And I don't know. I know one thing. If you want to get good information, go to the Word of God and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's going on and what's right for you. I say, be led of the Spirit. Whatever you do, whatever you allow or disallow, make sure it's of God, right? That the Lord is directing you in that. And let's be respectful of one another. Some people are uncomfortable at gathering right now because of this thing. And, you know, we're not here to pick sides. That's what the devil likes. You know, he likes us to be divided. And he's doing a pretty good job in our nation today. But you know, you and I are the ones that God has called to partner with him for his kingdom to come and will to be accomplished in America. And not what the media is telling you, but what God wants to accomplish. Amen. And see, we need to tune into the right station. And if you're just saturating yourself with all the media, there's all kinds of misinformation, and right? And it just creates confusion. But I find that when I keep my eyes on Jesus, I pray and I read his word, that I have peace in my heart. And God reassures me that it's going to be okay. He's got it. God's not up in heaven chewing his nails. Amen. He's in perfect peace, and in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And do you know that you and I have access to him 24/7? And that joy is something that we possess already if the Holy Spirit's in you. So we just need to believe and receive what God has already freely given us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we receive that today, amen? And we walk in that, and we believe what God said. And what you believe is what you receive. So let's pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for helping and assisting and guiding and directing these, Lord, affairs even in our lives, Lord. And that you, Lord, are always there to help us, Lord, to show us what to do when we don't know what to do. Thank you for being a faithful friend, a counselor, a comforter, a paraclete, the one who walks alongside. Lord, you're always there. That's your name, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Lord, you said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Father, tune our hearts to you today. Anoint our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, the ears of our hearts to hear what you are saying today, Lord. Father, I pray that you will speak through me today by your Holy Spirit, that we will hear your voice, Lord. Be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Title of today's message is Redeeming the Time. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Diligently is another word for that. See then that you walk diligently, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Redeeming means ransom or rescue from loss. So in other words, don't waste the time that you have been given. Because the days are evil. The New Living Translation says, make the most of every opportunity. The Amplified says, buying up each opportunity. Redeeming, ransom, or rescue from loss, the time that you've been given. Now, Paul the Apostle referred to his walk as a race. His life as being in a race. He didn't say a walk through the park, but a race. He's in a race. Because I think if we're not careful, if we're not paying attention, we can get out of step with the Holy Spirit. And we can miss what he's doing and miss his will for us. So we need to stay in step with the Spirit. And there is a certain pace that God walks. And he's not walking our pace, by the way. He walks his own pace, and we have to partner with him. He's not saying, Lord, come along with me. And he says, no, you follow me, all right? And I'll make you a fisher of men. So we need to find the pace of the Lord. We need to partner with him, and we need to stay in step with the Spirit. Stay in the pace of the Lord, because his pace is perfect. He knows where he's going. There's a certain rhythm to walking in the Spirit. I use the illustration often, but it's, I think, a good illustration. That is walking through water. When you navigate through water, has anybody tried to run in water? You'll expend a lot of energy and wear yourself out quick and not get very far. If you just sit in water, guess what? You're not moving either. But you ever notice there's a rhythm to water? You get in the water and it's just kind of like a rhythm, and it can just kind of... There's a certain speed, if you will, that you can walk and effectively in the water, right? And you got to find that sweet spot, if you will. And that's what it's like walking in the Spirit. There's a certain pace that God is walking, and we need to connect with him in the Holy Spirit, amen, and discover where he's at, what he's doing, and how quickly we need to be walking out this thing. Because how many beside myself have gotten ahead of God a few times? God, I want it right now. And how many beside myself have kind of sat around when God was moving? And so we need to discover where he's at and what he's doing and go there and do that. And if you're not a person of prayer, you're going to have trouble navigating with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because prayer is our lifeline, is our communication. Amen. God wants to hear from you, by the way. Amen. He wants to hear from us every day. And he wants to speak to us, and he wants to give us guidance for our lives. Do you know that your Father in heaven only wants the best for you? So we need to be listening to his voice and following his direction. But Paul said, my life is like an athlete in a race, in a marathon. And he said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the what? Race that is set before us. Let us, it says, lay aside every weight. What is a weight? He says, right? He said, every weight and the sin. So he's making a distinction between a weight and a sin. How many know that a weight can be something that you allow in your life that may not be sinful, but it will be a hindrance to you in your walk? So you lay aside these weights. Get rid of these things that are non-essentials. You know, the government's trying to tell us what's essential today. You know, we need to find out, Lord, what do you say is essential, right? And what's essential in my life? What do I need to get rid of? What is weighing me down? What is hindering me in my race? Because I want to stay in step with the Spirit. And if there's something that's interfering with that, I need to get rid of that because it's a non-essential. At the end of Paul's life, he was able to say in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have what? Fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This is something that I pray for y'all often. I say, Lord, and I pray for myself. I say, Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen their faith. I pray that their faith would not fail. I pray the prayer of Jesus the way he prayed for Peter. Amen. We pray for one another. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them with might in the inner man by your Spirit, that you would strengthen their faith. Amen. That they will endure to the end, that they will not be shipwrecked along the way. I mean, you know, we do have a real adversary who wants to destroy you and get you off course. And he wants to rob you of your inheritance by getting you preoccupied with inferior things and lesser things and things that are really non-essentials. Come on, somebody. That have nothing to do with eternity, but only this temporal life. We have a temporal life we need to live, but our priority should always be the kingdom of God. The will of God. Amen. What is most important? That which God has called us to, the highest calling, is the will of God for you. Discover that and walk that out. As you walk in step with the Spirit, day by day, step by step, you will reach your destination. And you also will be able to say, as Apostle Paul, I have what? Fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Right? He finished his course. He finished his race. And he said, there's joy set before me. Now, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the quicker the time seems to go by. It's like an hourglass. You ever watched an hourglass? Seems like it's taken forever, and all of a sudden it starts getting close to the end. It's like starting to really come through there. That's kind of like our lives. But everything seems to be moving so quickly. So every day, we're reminded about how short life is. And how quickly our earthly lives are passing away. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon said this, to everything there is a season. That means an appointed occasion. To everything there is an appointed occasion and a time for every purpose under heaven. So he knew that there was a predetermined time or season for everything and a fixed time for everything that was happening. And he said God had fixed the time when man is to be born, to die. And he said there's also an allotted time for man to carry out his purposes. Solomon observed this. He says, listen, we all have just a short window of opportunity to live out the purpose of God for our lives. We're in a race. And I've been in races before. I actually ran, I won't do it again, but I ran a marathon once. So, yeah, I was that guy they had on the gurney, you know, in the back. But if you run in a race, you know that you have to prepare, you have to train, but you also have to get rid of anything. Amen. You have to discipline yourself in your diet, right? And so that you're going to be able to endure. And the whole goal is to finish the race. Amen. And if you're really competitive, then you want to get the prize, right, at the end. But it's very important that you and I understand that our lives are like that. We're like athletes, you know, on the field. We're in a race. And it's a race against time, really, because the time is quickly going by. And I don't know about you, but I can look back at my life and see the years that were wasted and say, I wish I could go back and redeem the time that has passed. How many have ever said that? I wish I could have known what I know now back then, so that I could have been bearing fruit unto eternal life, because we understand, don't we now, that our life is a vapor. It's so quick. And even though you may be young here today, your life is going by very quickly. How many would agree with me. It's like just yesterday, we were children. We felt like we were just the other day, I was a kid. Some of you are saying, man, that was a long time ago. I don't know about that, but you know you're old when. But, you know, it seems like, wow, 30 years have gone by. 30, what was 1980? Since I was born again. You know, it's like, wow. And sometimes I go back and I look at, you know, you get old when you start looking at photo albums, right? Oh, remember that, Margaret? Yeah. I remember that time, yeah. Man, you were looking good back then. What happened? But, you know, you go back in the years and you look at what's happening and you're thinking, wow. You know, nowadays we have the privilege of having pictures, you know. So we can go back and reflect a lot on our lives and the things that we've done, places we've been. But yet, I think we all have that. Most of us, anyways, would probably say, I wish I could go back and redeem the time. But you know what? It's not wise to say that, is it? We don't need to look back. We don't need to live in regret. What we need to do is seize the opportunity God gives us today and say, you know, today is the day that God gave me. This is the day the Lord has made. And I'm going to live my life every day for Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to make myself available for him to use. I want to be a vessel of the Lord. I find it a privilege to serve the Lord. Did you know that all of us are ministers in the new covenant? Amen. Did you know everyone in Christ Jesus who's been born of his spirit is actually a priesthood? Amen. You are a priest. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a priest. So we're supposed to offer up sacrifices that are acceptable to God. And the sacrifice that we're supposed to initially give to God is our bodies. Because if God has our bodies, then he has us. Because inside your body is your soul and your spirit. Amen. And we are the container of the Holy Spirit. We are his temple. So we have to willingly give our lives or our bodies back to God as a reasonable service based upon all that he's done for us. And be willing now to say, you know what? I spent enough time in foolishness and pride, wasting the life I had, amen. Now is the time for me to get, amen, on board with what Jesus is doing. Discover that and begin to live out the purposes of God. If you're young here today, thank God you're able to hear this. Hopefully, amen, you'll listen to what I'm saying. Don't allow your life to become a waste. Too many of the young people, they're spending their life on vanity. They're wasting hours and hours just playing games and doing things that have zero to do with eternity. Are you hearing me, somebody? And did you know that we're in this race? And do you know who's waiting at the end of this race? Do you know who's at the finish line? Do you know who we're going to see someday? That's right. Every knee will bow to him in that day. Every tongue will confess. Amen. Jesus is Lord. And when we see Jesus, I want to see Jesus smiling. Amen. When I cross the finish line, and I want to hear him say, well done, my good and what? Faithful servant. You have opportunity. God calls you to partner with him. Don't worry about it. Don't be fearful. God will give you the grace to do what you can't do naturally. If you feel, I'm just a nobody, I can't do anything, I can't speak well, I'm a fearful person. Well, get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, amen? Get empowered by God, and you'll have supernatural ability, because what we're called to do requires the supernatural ability of God. It's not something we can do naturally, it's something that God empowers us to do, amen? So the grace is of him and not of us, amen? You and I are not able to help people, really. We can help them temporarily. We can put a Band-Aid on. We can pat him on the back and say, attaboy. But God's the one that changes the heart. Amen. Transforms the life. And if you and I will partner with him and allow his spirit to direct us, amen, God will work through your life and he will impart strength and help to others. That's going to be eternal. We know how to be a partner for Jesus. Amen. How many here are partners for Jesus already? Hallelujah. Have you ever regretted that? You know, there's a time and season to everything in nature. So there's a time and season to our lives. And you know, if you've ever planted a garden, you go out and you plant seed. And the reason you plant seed is because you have confidence or faith that that which you're planting, amen, is going to sprout and eventually bear fruit. If you don't have faith, you won't plant seed. If you don't have faith, you won't water that seed. If I say I have faith, but I have no works, then my faith is dead, because faith requires an action on my part that will prove that my faith is genuine. I can say I believe God and I believe the message of the cross, but if I don't repent of my sins, then I'm not really believing. Because without repentance, there's no salvation. People are being offered salvation without repentance today. It's a lie. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall what? All likewise perish. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is the way of death. You see, a lot of people just think, I'll do it my way. And God will somehow approve that. No, God approves his will. So you need to discover what God's will is. It's already approved. You don't have to ask God for approval of that which he's already approved. If you know what he wants, what he desires, what he asks of us, and we partner with him, it's already blessed. You want a blessed life? Live out the will of God. Live out the purpose of God for your life. Because the devil will offer you cheap counterfeits, things that will give you temporary satisfaction, but it leaves you empty. You know, the water of this world. It's foolish to ignore the word of God, to disregard it. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus said, the ones that fell on the good ground, the seed that fell on the good ground, are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, what do they do? Keep it and bear fruit with patience. When your heart is prepared and conditioned by the Spirit of the Lord, when you have a repentant heart, then you are in position to receive the seed of the word, and the seed of the word will produce change and transformation in your life. And it'll bring you to a place where you're able to be a fruit-bearing tree, amen, bearing the fruit of God. It's not the fruit of my life that people need. It's not my goodness that people need. They need God's goodness. And they need God's goodness working through me, a yielded vessel. Amen? Some people are just nice naturally, but human niceness does not qualify you for heaven. Amen? It's God's goodness, amen, that qualifies us for heaven. It's his righteousness, not mine. And God's wanting us to partner with him in this life because he's allowing us the privilege and the opportunity to someday share in his glory, to someday be rewarded, amen, as we have partnered with him now, someday our reward will come. And you know what? If our hearts are in right standing with God, we will serve him not because we want a reward, but because we love, amen? Because we love people. We want to be a blessing. God puts that in us. He works in us, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. But every crop is very specific. You're all different, aren't we? We're all different. Okay, so it doesn't have to look like Joe, right? Or Jane. Is there any Janes and Joes in here today? We just need to be who we are in the anointing, yielded, amen, to the Holy Spirit, to be a vessel that God would work through, amen, and he allows us to do this, to partner with him, hallelujah. And it's not based upon my qualifications, amen. God is the one who qualifies us. God is the one who enables us to do what he calls us to do. And often God will call you to do something that naturally you're not comfortable with. And so you got to step out of the boat like the other disciples were sitting there. But Peter said, I'm going to take the risk and I'm stepping out. Amen. Up on the water, because that's where Jesus is at. How many know the best place to be is where Jesus is at? And we can learn how to successfully walk. Amen. Even though you may sink a few times, you get back up. All right. Get back in the journey, get back in the race, and endure to the end. That word patience, they bear fruit with patience, means hopeful endurance, patient waiting. Now, James 5 and verse 7 says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts. That word establish means to set fast or to turn resolutely in a certain direction. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. He goes on to say, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. All of us have been allotted a certain amount of time to carry out God's purposes. And so the enemy is going to try to throw things in your path. Amen? In our path to hinder us or to get us off course. So we got to be careful that we don't allow the devil to distract us. I've been distracted before. How about you? He's good at that. I thank God for the Holy Spirit who convicts me and the Holy Spirit who redirects me. You know, sometimes we have to do that with our children. Amen. We have to redirect them. Okay, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to walk this way. And the Lord does that for us. But we have to be willing to cooperate. Amen. We have to humble ourselves. We have to submit to God. And then when we resist the devil, he's going to flee from us. Now, redeem the time, the Bible says, or make the most of the opportunity that you have. Now, in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4, it says, here's Solomon again, he who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. Beware of these distractions, the things that happen in life that are there simply to get our eyes off what we're supposed to be doing. Right? Well, I can't because. If God calls you to do something, he will enable you to do that which he's called you to do. He will always supply the sufficient grace for you to accomplish the task that he's given to you. So we can't say, well, Lord, I would accept. It doesn't matter what man says. If God says to do something and man says don't, who are you going to obey? That's where you need to draw the line in the sand. I'll obey the laws of man in as much as it doesn't counter the word of God or undermine the word of God. But there comes a time, guys, when we have to make a decision who we're going to serve. Amen. And we have to determine that we're going to obey the Lord no matter what man thinks or what man says. God needs somebody to stand up. Amen. He doesn't need wimpy Christians. He needs strong Christians. He needs us to be strong in him, built up in him. And if we're not feeding ourselves, we're not drinking from the word and from the spirit of the Lord. Amen. If we're not in together with God's people like we should be. Amen. Then we're not going to have the strength of the grace to overcome. God has called us to a body. He's called us to a mission. And we need, amen, that which others can supply to us based upon the giftings that God has given them. Together, we should be building up, edifying and encouraging. We should encourage one another to praise the Lord, amen, to sing praises to him, to draw near to him, to pray to him, amen, and to receive from him, amen, because we know the only thing that's going to sustain us is the presence of the Lord, the only one. We're not going to do it because I'm just trying. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm trying. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm struggling. You know, if, again, a lot of it has to do with our mentality. It has to do with our perspective on things. The devil wants you to believe it's too much, it's too impossible, it's too much, it's too big. It's beyond what you can do. Well, it may be, but it's not beyond what God can do by his grace, who will empower you to do what he told you to do. And the devil and hell cannot stop you, no demon can stop you from doing what God assigned you to do. That was the same thing with Israel, amen? They were supposed to go in and occupy the land and drive out the giants, amen? Because God had already given them the promise, I've already given it to you. Every place, Joshua, the soles of your feet trod, I've given it to you as an inheritance. Go in and possess and take that which I've already given to you, amen? And the only thing that's going to stop you is your own unbelief. That's the only thing that's going to stop us from doing what God's called us to do. Just like it did some of the Israelites, amen, was their unbelief that God's not able to do what he said he would do because there's giants. And how many know that every time you step out for God, you step out to do the will of God, there's always somebody that wants to step up and get in your face and get in your way and try to stop you from doing what God told you to do. We need to be strong in the Lord. Some people have strong willpower. I can do this. How many times I've seen it in my own life, I've seen other people's lives too, they start talking about how well they're doing. Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just doing. Brother, let me tell you how. My, how good I'm doing. Next thing you know, they're on their face again. Boom. Why? Because their confidence is in them and not in Christ. Well, brother, how you doing? Well, I'm doing great by the grace of God. I'm overcoming by the grace of God. I'm blessed and highly favored by the grace of God. Amen. I'm deeply loved because of God's grace and mercy, right? That's where it's at. It's not in me. Hallelujah. We're just people. God uses just average Joes and Janes often, doesn't he? To do extraordinary things. He uses the ordinary for the extraordinary. David said in Psalms 39:4, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. The New Living Translation says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. And in verse 5, he says, you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath. And that's what James said. He said, our life is what? Just like that vapor. Yeah. Listen to the prayer of Moses in Psalms 90 and verse 12. He said, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses understood, David understood the value of living for eternity, of redeeming the time, making the most of the opportunities that God had given them while they had opportunity. You know, we're not going to be here forever, guys. Amen. We're all going to die someday. And when that happens, you're not going to be able to go back and change anything. Amen. And some people will say, well, what can I do? I'm laid up. I have physical problems, physical ailments. I was just hearing in Sunday school this morning where some of the great men of God were, one of them, I don't remember if it was who he was, but he mentioned one who he laid down in the prone position because he was so infirm, and he still preached. So he didn't allow the physical infirmity to stop him from doing what God called him to do. And you know, you may not be able to get out of your house. Maybe some people are in self-quarantine right now, but you can be a priesthood. Amen. You can enter into your priestly office and you can intercede. Amen. And there's no distance with God. God can move. Amen. Across a country and around the world. Amen. In any place where somebody may be, there's no distance with God. There's no limitation to what he can do. So there's always something that we can do that is an agreement. When I go out and I visit the nursing home, lately they've allowed me to go, but I have to walk around the outside of the building. And I'm walking behind shrubs and squeezing in, and I look like a peeping Tom, and I'm looking inside the window, but there's an activities director on the other side. Okay. So when I go in there, though, I see people who are these people, you think we've got a bad, they've been stuck in their rooms all this time. It's like being in solitary confinement for some of them. They may be the only one in the room. Once in a while, they have a nurse or somebody come in. Amen. But you go in there and you know, some of them, I'll go into and they'll have a smile on their face. And the other day I went in and I saw this woman. She's just beaming. And I says, is there anything I can pray for you about? And she goes, no, I'm okay. I says, you just had a time with Jesus, didn't you? She says, yes. I love that. That's what I want to be like when I grow up. But we must make the most of every opportunity. You know, recently, someone my brother and I knew personally is my brother's best friend growing up. He just passed away, and he was a fairly young man. He was, I think, 59 or something like that. But this is a young man who was part of our youth group when we were younger. And I don't know where he's at today, because they lived a very worldly life. They lived a life for themselves. They, by all indications, were not in right standing. And, you know, I think too often people believe that they've just got all this time and all this opportunity. And how many people are in hell now because they said, well, one of these days I'll get right with God. On my deathbed, I'll give my heart to Jesus. But we're reminded once again of how temporal and how fragile life is. Died suddenly of a heart attack. I don't know where he's at, but I know this, is that I don't want to be caught off guard. Amen. I want to be ready for the time when the Lord calls me home. Amen. Or the Lord comes to receive his church, that we're going to be ready in that day. And you know, the best way to be ready is to be abiding in him and in his will for your life. Living out the purpose for which God separated you unto himself. There's a reason why you're in Christ today. Amen. Did you know being a Christian, you can't be a Christian for yourself. God calls you, amen, to be a blessing to someone else. Why did God bless Israel? Just so they can go and say, well, we're all blessed and highly favored. Yeah, well, they were blessed and highly favored, but they were supposed to be influencers, right? They were supposed to be salt and they're supposed to be light and they're supposed to represent Jehovah God, amen, to the nations around them. Instead, they just took it all upon themselves and then they got snooty about it. God, I thank you, I'm not like those people over there. God, deliver us from self-righteousness, comparing ourselves to somebody else. We don't know what's happened in their life. We don't know where they've been, what they've been through. God knows that. What we want to do is we want to help people. Amen? We want to turn people to the one that can help them. And you and I got to get out of the place of being their Savior and being their enabler too, by the way. We want them to trust in the Lord for their provision. Amen? If God moves upon you to give somebody something, give them. Amen? Give what he told you to give them. Amen? But don't become a sugar daddy, all right, or a sugar mama. All right? You want to empower somebody to take care of themselves. That's the best way you can help somebody. Amen? And if they're unable, then that's a ministry, isn't it? It's a mercy ministry. But we need to redeem the time. Ephesians, once again, Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly or diligently, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. You know, John the Baptist, he might have been a fool in the eyes of the world, but not in God's eyes. Jesus spoke highly of John in Matthew 11 and verse 8. He says, but what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is a guy who lived out in the wilderness. He wore, what is it, camel? And he ate locusts, grasshoppers, and wild honey. And he was the chosen one that God used, amen, as a forerunner to our Lord. And in the eyes of the world, they're saying, man, this guy, just take a look at this guy. You want to listen to him? But he's the one that God chose. His ways are not our ways. You've heard it said before, don't judge a book by its cover. And be very careful. Sometimes we may be entertaining angels unaware. Oh, that can't be an angel. The way they look, you kidding me? An angel's got to be beautiful with these beautiful white wings in this world. No, it could be an angel in disguise. And how you treat others. God's looking. He's watching. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. John the Baptist served the Lord in a very short season. He died in his 30s. He completed his race. And guess what happened at the end? He was beheaded. Our Lord Jesus, he completed his race. Was crucified, dead and buried, amen. Rose again on the third day. He died at a young age of 33. He had run his race. He had finished his course. He had kept the faith. You and I are in a race against time. And we need to make the most of the time that God has given us. Amen. To bear fruit unto eternal life, knowing that here, nothing is going to last forever. I shared this the other day with somebody, but my wife and I managed an assisted living facility, you know, for about four years or so. And we noticed something, that you had people from every echelon, every part of life, you know, from different backgrounds. Some people were very affluent. Some people were poor. There was up and outers and down and outers, you know. But you had all kinds of people that now they're in their last days. They're in a nursing home. They're infirm. There's not much they can do. They have to depend on somebody else to take care of them. And some of these people that had houses and lands and wealth and all that, you know, this world could offer them, now they're in a place where all they have left is a single bed with a nightstand and maybe a bureau and in some cases a few knickknacks that were left over from their life. Everything else has either gone away or they've given it away, and now they're at the end. And so we have to ask the question, what really matters? What is valuable to you? Is it having treasure in heaven, or is it just having it all now? How many know too many people for too long in America have been pursuing just the American dream? And God's not against having nice things, but the question is what is our priority in life? Is my priority living for the will of God, or is it for just to satisfy myself? Because one day, everything you see will be gone. This place, kings and kingdoms, amen, will all pass away. And the only thing that endures is the Word of God. If you and I are obedient to the Word of God, and we live for the plan and the purpose of God, if we make the most of our time that God has given us, then we can have an abundant welcome into heaven. We'll have, amen, a welcome from Jesus. A well done from the Lord. That to me is going to be the greatest prize. The lover of my soul, the one who gave himself for me. If I give myself back to him, I know, hey, I may have to deny myself and give up some stuff right now. Amen. Because we're not pursuing things that are passing away. Amen. If the ship is sinking, get off of it. So many people are just putting all their faith and confidence in the stock market. Instead of God who provides all things. Amen? How many know that man will fail you, but the Lord doesn't fail? So what do you want to be remembered for? How many here want to have an impact while you're here? Amen? I think God has put that in all of us, that we want to matter. We want to do something great. We want to be somebody, amen, that makes a difference in this world. God puts that in us. If you're his child, you're great because of your identification with him, amen, because of who you are. If you're his child, amen, you're already royalty. You're royal, amen. But then the Lord says, as a son and as a daughter, he's calling us to partner with him in his mission while we're here. To reach out, amen, and be a light, to be salt, to be an influencer in this world for him. He wants to bring his kingdom here, amen. God wants to bring heaven to earth, and he does that through his people who intercede, who are a royal priesthood, who call the kingdom in, amen, the kingdom reign of God in, amen, to influence nations, kings, all those in authority. We're supposed to be praying for our leaders, not criticizing them. Amen. Because God can move upon anyone. God can change anyone's heart. God got a hold of Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. He had to go out and eat grass for a while, but he got the message. And then he ended up praising the Lord, didn't he? Here's a guy that was, talk about a narcissist. He had an idol set up for himself. Kind of like North Korea, right? You know you're full of yourself when, right? And so then God humbles this man, and he ate grass like an ox, it says. Yeah. But it was an attitude adjustment, and it got his attention, and it brought him to his senses. And sometimes the Lord has to work in mysterious ways. Thank you, Nancy. Yes. But Paul, he completed his mission with joy. He says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but hear it, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I say this often, but guys, if we're living for Jesus, if your affections on things above, if your treasure's in heaven, then you're looking for the Lord's return. Why? Because this world is not your home. And those who love his appearing are those who are living for him. Those who are serving the Lord are the ones that are looking for him. Come on, somebody. But we're serving him because we want to. We're serving him because we get to. Because it's our privilege and our honor to bring something back as a thank you to the Lord based upon all that he's doing. How can I be a blessing now to my Lord? He's blessed me, and I thank God for his blessings, but how can I bless Jesus? You know how I can bless Jesus? By being a blessing to you. By you being a blessing to somebody else. And you bless those who you see, you're blessing him who you don't see. When you live for his will and his purpose in the world, amen, then you will be an extension of his love, his grace, his mercy in this world, amen, and you're going to be wanting to bring people to Jesus. I'm going to finish with this today. In Luke chapter 12, verse 42, the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming.'" You know, that's happening today. "And begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers or the hypocrites. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." The Lord is wanting you and I to partner with him in his mission. Jesus paid for the souls of mankind with his own precious blood. Amen? He paid the ultimate price so that you and I could be saved. And how many know it's not okay just for me? But God wants us to take what we have received and share it with somebody else. Amen? Whatever you've been blessed with, you can bless somebody else with. Whatever God has done for you, you can testify and tell others what God has done for you, and that you can release that same anointing in their life to receive the same blessing that you received. Have you received a healing in your body? Amen? You tell other people what God did for you, amen, and how he healed you. And you may release the faith in them to receive the same miracle in their bodies. When you talk about how God had delivered you and saved you and cleansed you and given you new life and placed his spirit within you and gave you hope for a future, amen? Hallelujah. When you tell people about what God did for you then, you can bring what he did then into the now for somebody else to receive. And God's heart is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. I need to repent, amen, of my sin. And turn to Jesus. He died on the cross, shed his blood, so I could be forgiven. Amen? But not just for me, but for the sins of the world. And people need to know that there's a Savior. That there's a way out. There's so many people that don't know the true gospel of Jesus. They don't know it. They never heard it. They didn't know there was another way. They didn't know there was a better way. They didn't know there was a way out of my predicament. What can I do with this guilt and this shame and this burden of sin that I carry with me all day long? How can I ever be free? Well, maybe I'll do a lot of good works and then I'll feel better about myself, but I still am plagued by this thing that never lets me go. We need to tell them there's mercy at the cross. Jesus Christ died on your behalf. He paid the price for you. If you'll turn, call, Repent towards God. He'll be merciful. He'll be gracious. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll give you a new beginning. Hallelujah. But you must be willing to repent. You must be willing to turn away from your sin. There is rescue. There is hope for those who call on the name of the Lord. And when we receive the mercy of God, then we can go and show mercy to others. When we receive the salvation of God, then we can share that salvation with others. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because God didn't just do it for us, but He did it for all. He's not willing that anyone should perish. Thank you, Jesus. You see, He said when He returns, He's going to reward the faithful servant. Amen? And He's going to do it liberally. But He said to that servant who knew his master's will, in other words, they knew better, but they did not prepare or do according to His will, they shall be beaten with many stripes. There will be punishment, different forms of it. According to Jesus, there's going to be a reward for the faithful, but punishment for those who knew God's will but refused to obey Him. So what's the key here? What do? We do God's will. Let us come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace. Would you bow your heads this morning? Calling upon the name of the Lord. Has God spoken to you today? Has the Spirit of the Lord convicted you about anything today? If so, now's the time to get it right. Confess it before Him. Apologize to the Lord. Ask Him for His grace. Ask Him to forgive you, to cleanse you. Ask Him to fill you with the knowledge of His will for your life. Ask Him to make His will your desire. If God convicts you of sin, He wants you not only to say, "I'm sorry," but He wants you to turn from it. He wants you to renounce it, to walk away from it. Don't go back into the hog pen after you've been washed. Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." Make up your mind. Make your decision today who you're going to serve. Are you going to commit your life to the Lord? Are you going to obey His instruction? It's your choice. God won't force His will upon you. But know this, that soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. As it is appointed for men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah.